May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. 25 weeks ago, we gathered as a community of faith and we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And now we come today to the end of the season of Pentecost. And today we celebrate Christ the King. We look back over these 25 weeks and we remember how we have contemplated the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth as have been given to us in the Gospel of St. Mark. We look back at what we've learned and what that has meant for us as disciples of Christ. Today is the end of the year for us. And next Sunday is Advent Sunday, the beginning of a new liturgical year. Now, I think it's pretty normal that when you get to the end of something, there's a tendency always to look back. Look back on what's happened. And when you look back on what's happened, there's always a mixed sense of achievement and also failure. And when you look back, you always ask yourself, what could I have done differently? What could I have done that would have made an improvement? You know, to look back, we call it being a Monday morning quarterback. And all of us have the Monday morning quarterback syndrome. But you know something, it really doesn't matter. Because not one of us can go back even to a minute ago and change what happened. All we can do is look back and simply have a different perspective on what happened. Now, I'm sure that Jesus of Nazareth didn't even know what a Monday morning quarterback was. But I'm sure that as Jesus was standing before Pilate in the Praetorium, there was a sense of looking back and a sense of wondering why he was there. Jesus stood alone in the Praetorium with Pilate. Pilate wasn't even sure of the charge against Jesus. All Pilate was sure of was the chief priests and the scribes. The nation's representatives had brought Jesus there for nothing less than the death penalty. And they wanted that death penalty to be carried out that day. That day. Because the next day was a religious holiday. And it would be so wrong to kill people on a religious holiday. The Jewish authorities, these chief priests and scribes, had finally got Jesus exactly where they wanted him, under arrest. You know, as we look back over the readings of the Gospel of St. Mark these 25 weeks, what we've found, okay, is that there has not been much that's been honest in the chief priests and scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees' dealings with Christ. There had been little integrity, certainly been little compassion, and there certainly had been no openness. What there had been was a conspiracy behind the back of Jesus. There was a blindness to the goodness that Jesus had done. There was a deliberate denial of his love. There was a repugnance to Jesus' message that ordinary people can get right with God. And by golly, those authorities were threatened that Jesus would dare to assure ordinary people that they could enjoy a relationship with God as his child, as one of his special children. A God embodied in Jesus, who has a heart of forgiveness, a soul of love, a body of joy. Those authorities looked only for the bad in Jesus. And by looking so hard for the bad, they failed to see the goodness, and they wanted him dead. But they couldn't do it, because their law would not allow them to put a man to death. So they had to bring him to Pilate, the Roman governor, to sentence him. And Jesus stood on the inside of the praetorium with Pilate. And the chief priests and the scribes stood on the outside. You know, it's pretty ironic, isn't it? That those authorities stood on the outside, thirsting for a man's life, willing him to be put to death. Yet they could not go into the governor's house, because that would make them ritually unclean. What was it Jesus said? That it's not what you do on the outside, it's what you do on the inside that matters. And Jesus of Nazareth stands alone. And Pilate talks with him about kingdoms and about kingships. And the charge that Pilate pursues is the one that Jesus has claimed to be a king. And Jesus says, "Who told you that?" And Pilate says, "Look, your own people have brought you here. They're the ones that have handed you over. What have you done?" And Jesus says, "My kingship is not of this world." What Jesus is saying is the sovereignty I exercise has nothing at all to do with political struggles. It's got to do with people's relationship with God. The sovereignty I exercise is not one that gets its authority or power from the subjects. It does not depend upon their loyalty for me to keep it. My kingship gets its authority not from earthly subjects, but from God. You know, the quality of an earthly kingdom depends upon people's outward observances of the law. Well, you know something, you can be a wonderful keeper of all the laws, but you can still think all kinds of other stuff. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not concerned with outward observances, but with people's hearts and people's souls and people's minds." My kingship is not of this world. And here in the praetorium, in front of one of the most powerful men in the world, stands Jesus of Nazareth, who's about to be sentenced to death. And he's talking of his kingship. And he's talking of his kingdom and his crown awaits him. Is he misguided? Maybe. Is he tired of people's hardness of hearts? Is he tired of their stubbornness? Is he tired of their unwillingness to listen? Is he tired of their selfishness? Is he tired of their judgment of others? Is he tired of their prejudices? Maybe. Is he scared? Maybe. Is he really a king? Does he really have a kingdom? No maybes, but a definite yes. In Jesus of Nazareth, under a crown of thorns, we see a king who has no place called a kingdom except in the hearts of people. A king who has no country except in people's souls. A king who has no subjects except those who choose him. He has no law except for love. No government except for love. And no expectations except for love. A king with a kingdom that is only visible when people love one another. For that kingdom, we are all taught by Christ our King to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Amen.